What is up, Daddy Gang? It is your founding father, Alex Cooper, with Call Her Daddy.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Jamie Lynn Spears.
Hi.
Welcome to Call Her Daddy. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You are an author.
Yes.
How are you feeling?
I feel a lot of things. I feel like nervous, scared, but also like good and proud that like I'm using my voice and saying what I want to say for the first time.
I know you changed the title of the book late in the game. It was what was it initially, and then why did you change it?
That was never the title.
Really?
That was a mishap that happened where that was just something they put kind of for no one to really grab reference of my book or anything. And then somehow or another it was leaked. That was actually my book title. It was never going to be my book title. This is my book title. And yeah, I did kind of wait till late in the game to name the book. So perhaps it was frustrating, but this has been the title of my book.
Things I Should Have Said.
Yes.
Okay. Let's start the interview where you basically start the book.
This episode is presented by Sparkling Ice. Turn up summer with Sparkling Ice. They have over 17 anything but subtle flavors, all made with zero sugar and packed with vitamins and antioxidants. Iced tea and lemonade, strawberry watermelon, tropical punch, peach nectarine. Yum. Crank up the flavor. Sparkling Ice, anything but subtle. This episode is brought to you by UGG. Who's ready to create some core memories this spring, Daddy Gang? Rally the squad. We're packing up and heading out on a road trip in UGG. Y'all know I live in my UGG classic boots. Well, now it's time to swap out the boots for the sandal of the season, the Golden Glow, because you already know UGG season is year-round, baby. Shop the Golden Collection at UGG.com. This episode is brought to you by new Garnier Fructis hair filler with vitamin C, G. Many things can damage your hair, like heat styling and bleaching, but the all new Garnier Fructis hair filler systems can reverse up to 1 year of damage to your hair smoothness in just one use, giving you up to 79% stronger hair and up to 4 times less breakage. And all Garnier products are approved by Cruelty Free International under the Leaping Bunny program. New Garnier Fructis hair filler, pre-shampoo, shampoo, conditioner, and serum are available now on Amazon and at Walmart, Target, Ulta, Drug, and select grocery stores. Learn more at GarnierUSA.com.
Things I Should Have Said.
Yes.
Okay. Let's start the interview where you basically start the book. On page one, you reveal that you were an accident. You
yep.
just say immediately, I was an oops baby. Your brother Brian was 14.
Mm-hmm.
Brittany was 10.
Yes.
And you come into the world. What was your mom's reaction, though, to finding out she was pregnant?
She was really mad. Like, why am I pregnant? You had the surgery. I have never had a vasectomy, obviously. But I hear that when you have them, you have to go for the checkup. Because sometimes if it doesn't take, then you are still fertile and you can still get a woman pregnant.
So your parents decided, no more. We've got Brian. We've got Brittany. We don't want any more babies. And then your dad didn't go for the checkup. Lynn is pregnant. And they're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, I was determined to get on this earth. So here I am.
Here you are. Who told you that story? Like, when did you find out that you were an oops baby? It's not like the best
I feel
thing.
Like I never didn't not know that. Like, I feel like I just kind of like, I mean, my sister is 10 years older than me, my brother's 14 years old. I think maybe it was kind of a conversation of, first off, why don't I have a B name? Second off, why did you have them so close together and not me? And it was never like, it didn't hurt my feelings or anything. It was just kind of like, oh, well, we didn't mean to have you, and then we did. And then I guess they got real clever with my name. They just put their names together, and here I am.
Oh, my God. It could have been a Kardashian moment of, like, the K and then the K.
Well,
like,
it seems to be both of them are BJ, like Brian James, Brittany Jean, and then Jamie Lynn. Honestly, that is what made me ask, why don't I have a B name? Like, why don't I have the same name?
What was your parents' logic by naming you their names? Jamie Lynn. Oh, and anyone that doesn't know, Jamie is the dad, Lynn, mother, and now your name is Jamie Lynn.
Well, I know that my birth was not an easy birth. I know that my mom had to go into an emergency C-section. It was, like, not easy birth. So I just was like, were you just highly medicated and wrote y'all's names in the wrong spot? I just couldn't wrap, because also she did not spell my name the way that the Lynn name is spelled in our family. I don't have an E. Everyone else has an E. I have a cousin, Laura Lynn. It's L-Y-N-N-E. My mom's name is L-Y-N-N-E. And I'm just no freaking E. It's like, you wanted, like, I don't get it. Like, why not even, you're not even giving me that connection?
I don't even know why I didn't even recognize it until I'm, like, reading the book. I'm like, oh, Jamie Lynn. Like, so you describe in the book that your parents had a tumultuous relationship and those issues in their marriage and a lot of the overall family pain can be attributed to your dad's drinking problem. When did you know your father was an alcoholic?
You know, it felt like, I guess I just knew something, you know, innately as a child that something's different, right? Mm-hmm. And then I could see the way my mom would act when he was around, or I didn't know what alcohol was, obviously, at a young age. I didn't know what drunk was at age, but I knew there was a part I'd sometimes see my daddy and I didn't like it. And it was more than just like being mad, it like hurt me. It hurt my heart. Like, you're capable of being so great. Like, why are you doing this to yourself? Like, I knew that innately at a young age.
What do you remember about being around your dad when he was drunk?
Well, again, because I did have that insulation of a sister who's 10 years older and a brother who's 14 years older, I do think they kept me insulated from like a lot of whatever really happened. I think it was probably their experience was probably different. There's 14, 10 years. I wasn't on earth that they lived with the same set of parents. Right. I'll never know what that was like or what their experience was. I will say that dad was not like in the house every day by the time that I can recall. And then we were traveling a lot for Britney stuff. And my dad did work off. I could always justify it is like, maybe that's what he's doing and that's where he is, or maybe not, you know? So I think I kind of always lived my life justifying it to myself, but also feeling safe because I had that insulation a little bit, I guess. I think it would consume my mom, and my siblings were kind of there to take me out of it. I do think I was protected from some of it in that way, but also he wasn't around that much. Yeah. So I have great memories with him, and I also have memories that I knew something wasn't right.
What was your mom's approach to handling an alcoholic husband?
I don't think there's a right or wrong way, because, like, obviously I have compassion for the fact that my mom was in love with somebody who was incapable of loving her that way. I think that I get mad for her. Like, why would you allow this to happen to you? Not only your children, but like, stop allowing this. Like, outside of us, like, leave him. That's what I couldn't understand. But obviously back then, you know, things were, I guess circumstances were different, but my mom always worked and, you know, my dad always worked. I just didn't understand why she couldn't do that for herself. And that later on turned to resentment, I guess.
Is your dad sober today?
Yes, he is.
How did your mom manage keeping your early careers on track without having basically help from your dad and being able to rely on him?
Well, that's where things really started to piss me off at a young age. And me and my mom have walked through this, and, you know, like, I love my mama, and it's hard. I think where I started to not understand as far as our careers go is this man has, you've told me time and time again, like, and that I hated knowing too much about, like, as I got older, about their dynamic and their relationship. And I hated that she would say, you know, he can't be in our life or whatever, blah, blah, and he's drinking. But then she would, like, the minute it was time to, like, make a decision about my career or, like, what I could or couldn't do, she'd, like, call him up and let him have a say-so. And I'd be like, no, like, that's not fair. She maybe just was afraid. She didn't know how. I don't know. And I can't answer that for her. But I know that as what I was experiencing from that situation was, like, stand up for me. Yeah. Tell him F off, and that no, you're not allowed to. Don't let him in, because he clearly made choices to not be in.
Did you ever, like, when you were younger, start to, like, verbally speak up and at him?
He knew how I felt, but I think my mom wanted, deep down, wanted to be with him so badly and make things work that she always tried to, like, mediate this kind of thing. But, like, if he'd come over to, like, the house, I'm like, I would just, like, avoid at a certain age, once I got to a teenager, because I verbalized it to her very much, like, why do you get to decide he just gets to come in my life? Like, shouldn't I have that choice? Because it was like, you say you don't want him, but then you do, and then you allow. So honestly, to this day, it confuses me. I'm like, I don't know why we could. I wanted somebody to step in for me. So if they weren't going to, I had to.
Growing up, your brother is 14 years older than you. Mm-hmm. What was your relationship like growing up around your brother?
I loved, like, my brother was, like, really protective. He was, like, an athlete on the football team, and, like, he had a lot of girlfriends, and I would put on my mini cheerleader outfit and, like, go out on the field, like, the cheerleaders. Like, it's, like
hey, Ryan.
But then I also, too, was, like, a little shithead, so, yeah.
Then your relationship with your sister, Brittany is 10 years older than you. In the beginning of just growing up, like, what was your guys' dynamic?
It's, first off, all I ever knew, and it was just, like, I was, of course, like, her kind of little doll, but also at the same time, like, I felt like she was my protector, I guess. I don't know. Like, it just always felt like, and I admired her, too. Like, I loved her, everything about her. And my mom did work, and it was always kind of like a group effort to, like,
raise
make
you.
Sure I was taken care of.
By the time you were entering first grade...
Yeah.
And your sister, Britney Spears, was becoming a household name.
Yes.
In 1998, Hit Me Baby One More Time debuted.
Yes.
It was massive. Do you remember when that song came out? And, like, how did your family celebrate?
So, first off, I was so confused. And then I just remember I was on the trampoline at my friend's house. And, like, her song came on and somebody said, your sister is a real singer and she's famous. And I was like, what do you mean? And they were like, her song is on the radio. I was like, what do you mean? Like, singer, like Mariah Carey singer? I remember I said that. And they were like, yes. And I remember it was like the gates open. I was like, oh, I was like, my sister did it. She did it. Like, this is, everything's perfect. And that was like, I was so happy. And I thought it was the coolest thing. But it was in real time learning. But in first grade, like, I just didn't know. Like, I just thought, like, there's famous people and then there's us. And then somebody just said my sister's like Mariah Carey. So then that was my little head going like, these are the same thing. I couldn't understand it.
After your sister kind of starts to become famous, did your parents change the way they treated you and your siblings?
No, I guess I kind of always felt like an afterthought. I mean, I literally was.
Right.
So I just kind of learned to stay out of the way. You know what I mean?
Okay. Okay.
Just stay out of the way. And two, I was so proud of her. I was like, I know how hard she worked. Right. And I admired her. And it was so cool. Like, I got to witness, you know, like, the coolest things, watching her live out her dream. And so for me, it was just like, stay out of the way and just like, let this experience happen, because this is something that I felt like, you know, this was the goal that everybody wanted and they got it. So I just need to, like, not mess anything up for anybody.
There had to be significant changes made to protect your family. You write in the book talking about how there were guard dogs purchased, bodyguards hired, fans approaching your house at all hours, men sitting in vans staring into your house. As a little girl, how did you conceptualize all of this?
Well, the difference is, too, is getting famous now is different than getting famous back then. Like, when you, like, made it, there wasn't, like, social media. Like, I think I've seen that person's face somewhere. Yeah. One day, this person, like, you know, then it was, like, you either were really famous or you, there was no kind of fame. You know, it was more of, like, and when she became a household name and it happened so fast, we still lived in a little house that was, like, right on the street. And so people could just kind of, like come right up to us. So I think that, like, my mom would, like, be like, oh, there's fans. She'd bring, like, literally would make them lunch. I don't know, it was really strange.
With regard to your early relationships, you write in the book, one of the first healthy male father figures in your life was Justin Timberlake. Why was he so impactful in your life?
You know, and maybe I have some weird perception of it, but that was a really maybe good time, and perhaps, like, all of our lives. So perhaps he was in that. Yeah. So I remember him fondly, because that was, like, probably, like, one of the best times in my whole family's life. You know, things were good and we were experiencing the good side of things. But I just remember he was pretty, like, thoughtful. Like, you know, I loved acting and stuff like that. And he, like, I remember for Christmas, like, got really thoughtful gifts. And I don't know, I just felt like he was funny. He was really funny. And too, you have to remember, like, I was grew up around the Mickey Mouse Club, those kind of, and so, like, I loved all those people, because I felt like, I don't know, I just felt like insulated by them. Like, funny story, so I went and visited my sister when she did the Ellen show, probably, I don't know, Abby had been born, so maybe it was 2-3 years ago. She was on the Ellen show, and Ryan Gosling happened to be there the same day as her. they both were on the Mickey Mouse Club together. So they're like, you want to go see Ryan or whatever? And I was like, yeah, yeah. You know, so we go in there and he's like, I always remember this story about you were, he goes, I think about it now raising my kids. He said, your mom and your sister, when you get to being bad, they'd always tell you, the witch is going to get you. And that was the way they'd get me to do things and be like, the witch is going to, he goes, I think about telling my children that sometimes. And
he was great, Ryan.
I wanted to be like, okay, yeah, like whatever you want to say, Ryan. Like, it's a totally different dynamic if you like want to hang out now.
Don't look at me as a little kid anymore.
Exactly. But no, but like, those are the kind of things right. that, like, I think that because maybe I didn't have that male as my father figure was so unstable that, like, my first, maybe my brother was actually probably like what I felt was more stable. So then being around my sister's boyfriends kind of it imitated what I felt was like safe, I guess.
How did Brittany and Justin's breakup affect you?
I was so sad. I don't really know why I was so sad, but I was, because like I think everybody thought it was forever.
Yeah.
But I was so sad first off because my sister was so sad.
Yeah.
But that also, too, was the first time that I saw maybe I didn't know everything about the relationship, you know, because perhaps she and, you know, they were protecting me. And obviously, why would they talk to me about anything?
Right.
Like, it was really sad, though, seeing my sister be so heartbroken and also being like, it's hard because, like, I also still want y'all to be together, but she's obviously heartbroken.
Why did they break up?
I truly do not know, but I just think about it this way. I mean, I think it was just like, okay, imagine you're in high school, except you've got all the money and fame in the world.
I can't imagine.
Okay.
Nope.
Would you be criminalized for, like, could you imagine, like, if, like, you know, you, whatever, like, if you talk to another girl, text another girl, could you imagine if, like, you were, like, criminalized for that whole thing? Like, how dare you? It's like, well, no, first off, I'm, like, young. That's what every other kid my age is doing.
Yeah.
Why in the world am I being held to a different standard? Looking back on it with that perspective, and seeing, like, how heartbreaking it must have been for my sister when Cry Me a River came out. I mean, like, don't get me wrong, like, that's a way to launch your solo career, though, right?
That's a way to do it.
Hey, that's a way to do it. But I felt really sad. And, you know, my sister, she wrote that song every time. And she's obviously beyond brilliant in when it comes to anything creative. And she picked that song out on the piano. And she wrote it. And it still makes me cry because I think about, like, how heartbroken she was. And then that was his song, but that was, every time was her song, you know? And it just feels like, it still breaks my heart to think about that.
When was the first time you remember being photographed by the paparazzi?
I don't remember not being, like, I just don't remember it not being a thing. Even when we'd be at home in Louisiana, like, what business they have there? It's not like we're down in the middle of Beverly Hills. But then we kind of were able to have a little bit of fun with it. Like, I remember one time we went and bought, like, those scream masks, and, like, we bought milkshakes from Sonic, and we got out of the car and threw it at them, because you could do that in Kentwood. Nobody's going to get on to you. And so we did. We did shit like that all the time.
Well, that was kind of fun. When did being photographed by the paparazzi become a problem?
For me, I think that it was when it was invasive in the way of, like, you can't take advantage of someone during the hard moment. Like, I felt like there was, when the boundaries were crossed as to more than just photographing a celebrity, you know, on a red carpet or whatever, or even when they're, like, in Los Angeles going grocery, whatever. But when it becomes to where you're chasing down photos of someone going through a private moment or a hard moment or whatever it is, our children, that's when it felt really invasive, like nothing was your own anymore.
Yeah. How did your parents handle their children being ambushed by grown men with cameras?
I mean, they hated it, but it is like, too, you have to remember, we're like a family from a small town. We don't know what the hell we're doing. And I say we as in, like, I was a baby, but yeah. I'd imagine that nobody knew, is this part of the thing? Is this part of the job? You don't really know how to handle it. But I think that the whole paparazzi culture really started, I would say, probably when, as Britney was going to the height of her, you know, during that whole pop culture, you know, when it was like the big online blogs and the paparazzi, it was just, it was unbearable.
When you were 11, you began your acting career on the cast of All That. Also at 11 years old, you write about noticing a shift in Britney's personality. You write in the book, Britney was showing signs of a debilitating exhaustion. Britney was changing in front of my eyes. I was still too young to comprehend her struggles, but I was old enough to recognize destructive behaviors similar to our father's. Something was different with my sister, but I didn't have the courage to speak out. When you say she was changing in front of your eyes, what were those changes?
She was wanting to escape us a little bit more. And when I say I mean like my family, like, which is normal. She was that age. She should go out and go do so with her friends. So I remember kind of it as I got older being explained. It's like, you know, she's going through a party stage or whatever it is, you know. Right. And that's fine. She should, whatever. I just remember feeling like selfishly, like I was like her center of the universe. Maybe like her daughter, her kid, or whatever you want to call it. And I thought it would always be that way.
Right.
And then I just felt like things just were uneasy. It wasn't that way as much anymore.
Then you also write about a specific episode you reveal in the book, which was pretty terrifying to read about. You write,
apparently everybody, I know what you're about to say, and apparently everybody finds this terrifying.
I mean, it's heavy.
You go ahead and read it though, because like I read it though. You see.
Okay. You write, Brittany said to me, baby, I'm scared. And she took a large knife from the kitchen, pulled me along to my room, and locked us both inside. She put the knife in the bedside table drawer and simply repeated, I'm scared. She needed me to sleep beside her. I knew something was wrong, and I was powerless to do anything about it. Why was your sister scared in that moment?
I don't know. I don't know, but I know that I was, like, very young. And I know that this had come right after the whole marriage in Vegas and stuff.
Okay.
And again, I think that people need to remember, I'm telling this story about what I experienced, no matter who that person was that pulled me into the room. You have to understand, like, that was an experience I went through, and it was really scary, and I felt really unsafe. I think it's important that I say that, because I didn't understand it. I was a kid. I just knew I felt really scared, and especially from somebody that, like, when I'm scared, I run to you. Why am I now scared with you? And I think that there's probably a lot of other young people who probably, or just any situation, who feel that way. And I never said anything, because I said it to people around me. But I guess, like, even when you read it to me and people seem to keep bringing that up, I think I've learned how to, like, because I was not allowed to have feelings about anything, like, shut up, like, that's fine, like, whatever, we're not gonna make a big deal out of this, that I started to really not make a big deal out of things. And so when I say it more casually, and people are like, that's really fucked up, like, that's not normal. I now I'm starting to, like, come to terms with that as I share. And that's something that I have to, like, kind of acknowledge, I guess, that, like, yeah, that was really scary, and I hated that that happened, but also, like, she must have been in pain too, but I was a kid, like, I didn't know what to do.
How did your parents react that your sister, who was kind of an authority figure in your life, trapped you in a room with a knife with her and was, like, saying she was scared? What did your parents say?
You know, I never felt like she was scared away, like she was gonna, like, harm me or anything, but it just felt like a weird, it just felt weird.
That's scary,
honestly. It just, and I didn't understand it, and I told them about it, and they were all having conversations about, like, how things did seem odd, obviously, from what I could tell. You know, like, you know when your parents are, like, all, like, kind of, like, but it wasn't just my parents, it was, like, her whole team, I guess, essentially. Right. I don't really know, because, again, like, I was more concerned about my fucking Sophie shorts, but at the same time, I told them, they asked me to come in there and tell this therapist about it, and I did. And then I never heard anything else about it. So then I was like, okay, I guess it's just the thing that happened.
Now having the space and time since that moment, what do you think was going on there?
I think that this was a brilliant young woman who was going through a hard time, and she, if she couldn't stand up for herself, then somebody should have. I wasn't an adult then. I couldn't.
Yeah.
Somebody should have said, stop the fucking presses. Give this girl a fucking minute.
I mean, I think now as a mother, like, imagine if your younger daughter came to you and said, Mom, my older sister locked me in the room with a knife. Like, it's like, what would
do? We're going to take a minute, I think, right? I have daughters, and they're the same age difference as me and my sister. And I look at it, and I'm like, how would I handle this?
Yeah.
And God forbid I ever have to handle something like this. I just think that, first off, I would have valued my younger one for coming to me with this and realized that she might need some help walking through this. And we might need to also shield her a little bit from this because she doesn't understand it, but it might later on affect her. And then I would hopefully take my older daughter and figure out how I can help her work through whatever it is she's working through. Because guess what? The biggest point is that's okay. Why is that not okay to say I need to fucking take a minute and I need to do what's good for my well-being and everyone else's well-being? And maybe that would have, you know, made a big difference for me, even my sister, you know. I just hope that by normalizing the fact that it's okay, like we're not okay or things suck or whatever.
Yeah. So you went, like, you had to sit down with a therapist and then you never heard of it again. And so clearly there was a lack of intervention, but again, that's not on you. You're like 11 years old at the point.
Yeah. Then we just kind of like, that just really not really was ever really spoke of again.
Yeah.
So I just kind of was like, okay, maybe you just think, oh, my parents got it. But I still was like uneasy. But then I just thought, like, in a kid, you just don't understand how like things don't just, that kind of thing doesn't just magically get better.
No.
So I didn't understand.
I want to kind of go back to another scary moment you recount in the book, an incident you describe having with your mom. Mm-hmm. You write, "We would lash out at each other. It all came to a head one day when my mom was emotionally strained and she snapped. She started hitting me with a large beaded purse that had a camera inside. She repeatedly swung the bag and landed several blows on my shoulders before she stopped. I ran to the shopping center next door to where we lived. I used a payphone to call my brother, Brian. Mom is going crazy." You stopped the story there. What did Brian say when you told him that your mom was beating you?
Well, again, I didn't really look at it like that. Like, I will say I was particularly an exceptional asshole to my mother a lot. And I do regret a lot of things that I probably could have done better to her.
But you do know that.
Yeah.
Regardless of being an asshole.
Yeah, I know. But I just was like, I just didn't understand. All I wanted, the only reason I was being mean to her is because I just wanted her to stand up for me or stand up for herself. And I think that just became all too much, and I called my brother, and of course, like, I'd go stay with my brother a good bit when he was in LA, and so I can't remember if he came and got me. And you have to understand that these are just like moments and incidences in my life that are just like kind of like blimps on like my story, so that wasn't something that, like, I'd go stay with my brother when I felt like I just didn't want to be around my mom anymore or whatever else. And I did feel bad for how I treated my mama, and like, I don't, and that's very unlike my mom, I will say. That's why I was just like, I needed to get away from her, but I needed to get away from her for a lot of reasons.
Yeah. Did anything happen? Like, did anyone find out?
I never really told anybody that happened, but like now me and my mom, like we obviously have talked about that.
Yeah.
I told her I'm sharing that, and
you write about in the book that the makeup artist saw the bruises on your neck.
I guess, like, I mean, there's just no other. I mean, yeah, he knew something was wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's hard for me to even, like, say those things, but, like,
I'm sure through time, like, you've started to sort of see how that's not okay.
Yeah, and I think that's, like, what I wish people would understand. Like, I'm still, like, in real time, like, sharing these things, and, like, they're not easy for me. They're not easy for, I'm sure, like,
anyone.
You know, it's hurtful for me to work through this. So sometimes I think I don't say it right, or I don't know how to say it because it's still painful. I'm still processing it. But part of the main steps is like actually saying it out loud, I guess. And so I'm trying to think in hindsight also, like, how I felt then and how I feel now. And I just think that, like, I want to protect everybody. I've got to stop doing that. It's a bad habit. I can't diminish my experiences, no matter whether it was my mother, my sister, my brother, if it was Joe Blow off the street.
Yeah.
I have to respect my experiences. And I guess I just don't know how to do that because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And I don't want to, like, I just don't want to, I don't know. I'd rather be in pain than cause pain. I don't want to pass on these patterns. I'm sure my kids will tell me all the ways I F them up when they're older. You know, that's our job. Like, you know, it's right, like how right. many ways can a parent do this? But at the end of the day, I have to use my voice or else I'm not going to teach my children to do it.
It's hard to hear you like immediately react and defend your mom.
It's hard. And I guess it's so hard because like people don't know when something's so perpetually like, ingrained in your being. You know, it's not just about like writing a book or whatever. It's about me like truly saying I'm making this growth to be truly authentically me, because that's all I've ever wanted to be. It felt so hard to just like just exist for everyone else's pleasure.
So much of you has to be like, don't say that. Keep the brand in mind. Like, don't do this. Don't, like, you can't even be.
And it wasn't
self.
Even like really my brand.
Yeah.
You know, it was like I was a prop to a lot of things, but at the same time, I was never allowed to control my own narrative or have my own voice and lever, unless it was like in line with everything. And I was never allowed to do anything or say anything that would possibly put my sister in a bad light. And honestly, I love my sister. I'm her biggest fan, but guess what? Sisters are sisters or whatever, you know, and like that's okay. And I think the biggest thing is like, why wasn't that just made normal from the beginning?
Yeah.
I was born into this family. I didn't choose. This was like, it's like, imagine like a big ship and I'm like just the little like dinghy riding in the wakes, like trying to like fucking survive, you know? And so that was my life, was like just survive this moment. And you might get to do something you want to do every now and then.
Yeah.
But just survive this, you know? And so I can't help that I loved acting too. And I can't help those things. And I don't know why can't two sisters exist in their own right? We never compared each other. The world did. We never had that dynamic or that issue. My sister to this day is going to always, to me, be the most badass performer that ever walked on this earth. Nothing's going to change that. The problem was is that, like, I couldn't be responsible for everything that happened around her and also be authentic to myself.
Yeah.
And I wasn't allowed to be. So I wasn't allowed because, like, I don't know why. I mean, I guess I didn't have the courage to do it. I guess I was too scared. But when it's ingrained in you so perpetually to be that way, like, I'm trying my heart. I'm breaking a true pattern that has been ingrained in me. It is hard. And I'm scared. And I'm all of those things. But I have to do this. It doesn't matter who your sister is or who your family member is or who, whatever your relationship is with, something has caused you pain or this is your experience. Nothing should diminish your experience. It's like my whole life, I kind of felt like I didn't matter.
So it's like, I just wish that mattered. I hear what you're saying, and it's like you and Brittany can both exist. But we can't take away from the fact that, like, everyone's always like, oh, like, she must be so jealous. And it's like, it's not an easy seat you're sitting in right now.
Jealous. I'm like, her hard work, was nothing but an inspiration to me. Like, what do you mean jealous? Like, I got to experience watching a woman take over the fucking world. How can I be jealous of that? How can you not have anything but complete admiration for it? What the problem is that, now, just because I'm her sister, I'm somehow or another being looped into something that I worked really hard as I got older to create my own life.
And we're going to get into that because...
Yeah, sorry. We segued way out of
we're like having a therapy session.
And
no.
What the other thing is like, I know that, like, you know, my family been through some dumbass shit and, like, we're, like, whatever. But, like, my mom... I don't want people to go after her and try to punish her for something that was a situation that went on between me and her. Me and her worked it out. If I can work on that and move forward and acknowledge it, then I don't need fucking Joe Blow over in a whole nother world telling my mama something mean.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Some things work so well. It's basically magic. Like my favorite highlighters that I'm like, wow, how did you all of a sudden make me look glowing? And you know what else really works, Dottie Gang?
Shopify. It is a global commerce platform that helps you sell. I've seen a big difference in my online merch sales. They are especially good at turning browsers into buyers. I can see someone that's been on the site but didn't check out, or someone that checked out and then is revisiting the site. Like, if you want to grow your business, Daddy Gang, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/unwell, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/unwell.
From the outside, it appeared as if the Spears sisters were thriving at one point. Like you kind of said, like things
at one
point. I
guess I forget that.
Yeah. Like, no, it really did. Like, outside world, your sister was the biggest pop star in the world. Your acting career is taking off. Meanwhile, your mom was struggling to manage both of your careers. Your dad is in and out of your life. And at one point, your sister offered to buy your mom a house in order to get your mom away from your dad.
Yeah.
How did that plan backfire?
I was really confused by that. Now looking back, like, what a weird fucking thing to do.
And can you explain when you say what a weird thing to do? Like, what are you talking
like,
about?
Like, I don't know why. Like, it seems like a weird thing to be like, I'll give you a house if you divorce dad. And why would your kid be able to tell you that? Already these dynamics are messed up. And that was where I think, too, my dynamics were kind of effed up. Because, like, my sister's paying bills, but I was a kid. I didn't have a choice where I put my head or where I slept at. Like, what am I going to do? Like, tell mom I'm not sleeping here? Well, then guess what? You're sleeping on the street? Like, right. What do you mean? You know, like, I had no choice over that. But it was confusing to me. I was like, wait, so they're getting a divorce because my sister said she's going to be... Like, can you imagine, like, the meth going on in my head?
You're like, so Brittany said she'll buy you a house if you get divorced. So you're taking the house, you're getting the divorce, but then they get the divorce and you said they might as well not even got divorced
and
because
nothing
showing up at the house that she bought to avoid the dad. Like, it was like
me and my mom still argue about this. I'm like, dad was there the first night we stayed in the house. I'm like, I'm telling you he was. And mama says, no, he wasn't. I said, yes, he was. So I'm like, so is Brittany gonna be mad because dad's here? Like, do you see what I'm saying? Like,
right.
So then I'm like, who am I supposed to, what am I supposed to? But I just remember like feeling like, what is up and what is down?
It's a very weird financial dynamic when a child starts to be the breadwinner.
I will always say this, though. Like, my dad did always have a problem with that. So, like, he always, you know, he didn't want to live in that house because Brittany had paid for it. He didn't like that. I guess that was just the dynamic. I don't know. Yeah. But I remember just being really confused by all of it.
As I think a lot of people would be, Jamie.
I mean, maybe I still am. I don't know.
You're working on Zoe 101 at one point in your life, and you and your mom relocate from Louisiana to California.
Yeah.
Who paid for the apartment you and your mom lived in?
Usually, like, the network will give you a relocation fee. It's never enough to cover, like, being there the whole time. But it's something. So, I mean, I always paid for the apartments that we were in.
Okay.
Which didn't seem that odd, I guess, because, like, we were there for my work. But at the same time, that created a really unhealthy dynamic because I'm like, I'm paying the bills. Why do I have to listen to you?
How was your money that you were making off Zoe 101 and all that like distributed within like your family? Like, how was it explained to you? Like, where was your money going? Did you get an allowance? Like, how did it work for you?
I remember that my money was very much something like in the beginning that I just kind of didn't think that much about because I was a kid and that I was like, awesome, I get to do what I love. And that's all I thought about. When we went into the Zoe stuff, I was making a much bigger salary, numbers that I noticed and also was older and could understand, like, wow, of course I thought then, you know, you make that money, it's all yours.
Right.
You know, like, whoa. What was I wrong? Whoa. And so I did. I had like an allowance, I think it was like $500 for like maybe every 2 weeks or something, which is, I think, was for what I was making for us, was like maybe reasonable. I'm not sure. Who really knows?
You start to kind of mention, like, again, you're so young, and you mentioned that you would notice, like, your sister having these episodes. Being that young, how in your mind were you defining an episode?
There was, understandably, a lot she was dealing with.
Right.
Who would be perfect? You know, like, I just thought, like, once all this shit stops, everything will go back to normal. That's kind of what I thought.
Okay.
And I just justified it as that way. Like, I didn't know or understand anything else, and maybe I didn't want to deal with it. It's not my place to speak on what it is someone else is dealing with or how they're dealing with it, but I am allowed to say how things affect me, and they did affect me, and that shouldn't be diminished. So for me, it just felt like, oh, I really wish all this shit could stop so I could have a normal existence.
So it would be like if she was just like, there was just a lot happening with her acting differently in a moment and it would affect you, and then you would be waiting for it to go
back
to normal.
My parents would, my mom would fly off a lot and be like, something happened with Brittany or whatever.
Okay.
Those were me in my head justifying it as, maybe I don't know all the details, but something's happened.
Okay.
She needs me there. And it was like, that was kind of more so of what I saw. And I think because I was the baby, like, nothing was ever directed at me.
Yeah.
I was still kind of insulated by, like, she's the baby. It was just kind of like, mom's going to be with her again because something happened or whatever. Maybe there was some arguing or some yelling. And
yeah,
I would just be like really like immersed up. Like I had a friend over and like there would be, I would just be embarrassed by it or whatever, you know. But I was such a young kid at the time. Like I was kind of like self-centered still, as we all are, as like young kids. So I just wanted like my family to act fucking normal. That was it.
In February of 2007, Britney Spears was harassed and followed by the paparazzi. And they documented her through the window of a barber shop as she shaved her head. How did you find out?
Well, I know exactly what I... Okay. I had been at a basketball game cheerleading because I was a cheerleader. And we got home and my friends, like, that's back when you, like, went on, like, the blogs, you know, and stuff. And they were like, oh, my God, Jamelyn, do you want to see this? And I was like, what do you mean? It almost felt like one of my friends took enjoyment out of it. And like, I didn't like that. I remember being more pissed off about that. And I was by myself. I didn't have my mom or my daddy. Like, they were there trying to help her. And so, like, I was by myself and I had to pretend like it didn't bother me.
So you found out because your friend pulled up a blog post?
Or like a picture or something.
And your parents were with Brittany? Like, went to
I don't even remember talking to them about it.
You didn't even talk to your parents?
I'm sure I did, right. But I don't remember.
Yeah. Were you surprised?
I just wanted to be with her, you know? But then, too, like, I didn't want to, like, give anybody the satisfaction of, like, I just remember seeing it. I remember, like, all I wanted to do was, like, just go home and get my own bed. Like, I just had to stay at my friend's house.
You had to stay at your friend's house that
night? Because they were out of town. Like, my mom was out of town. And so I just had to be like, huh, like, that's like, I don't even know what I said. I can't recall.
Like,
maybe
deflect.
Yeah, like, I guess I just kind of acted like it wasn't that big of a deal. But it was a huge deal. And obviously I was just like, I don't want to go to school tomorrow. And I would go to basketball games and like the whole student section would like sing stuff from the other school and stuff to me, and like, not that, like, that's not the end of the world. Like, I don't want pity, that's the whole thing, but I just think that like these were things that happened that like I just like I need to acknowledge that we're not that great or fun. And I just remember like sitting in my stupid little blue cheerleader outfit being like, I was like, you know, like it's like when somebody tells you something, you try to act like it doesn't bother you, but it really hurts your feelings.
Yeah,
it was like my stomach was like, I was just like, oh my God.
And you're trying to, like, just, like, deflect. Like, oh, that's weird. Like, oh, that's, like...
No, I was like, oh, my God. Like, oh, like, I don't even know what I said. Like, I don't even recall. But I know it was my friend saying, do we shower? I can remember him. And I was like, what is it? Like, I didn't understand.
After that, did you get to call your parents? Like, when did you...
I don't even remember. I don't think I did. I don't even know what we talked about. I have no idea. I keep trying to remember right now, even, like... And this is a lot of time while I was writing the book, I had to call my mom and be like, mom, I can't remember. Did this happen this way? Fact checking myself, because I was like, I couldn't remember things sometimes. It was all coming apart.
Yeah.
And I was like, going to sit here and grin and bear it like I was taught to, you know?
After that, do you remember where were you at with your sister?
I really, like, this part in, like, my life, I think I just really disconnected myself from it. But I do know that, like, obviously that's where most of my family's concern was and maybe should have been. But like, there were things that, like, I see to this day that I'm like, I don't remember those pictures, I don't remember those things. It was like I was kind of like at home, like, by myself, like, kind of figuring it out. Like, I wish I had somebody to talk to about it, you know? What was I gonna do, talk to my eighth grade friends and be like, or ninth grade friends and be like, oh yeah, like,
no.
What do I say? I just remember, like, I just would walk into the hallways and be like, just walk in this hallway anyway. Yeah. I didn't want to. And teachers would sometimes make comments. It was just, like, not cool. But this was my childhood experience. This was what I went through.
You're a 16-year-old kid. and you discover you're pregnant, how did you find out that you were going to become a mom?
I can remember I felt like absolute dog shit. And I didn't know why, perhaps all the shit that was going on. I don't know. And then I realized maybe I'm feeling this way because, like, I'm having a reaction to, like, needing to just go home, be normal, all this stuff going on with my family. Well, my friend kind of suggests, like, you don't think you could be pregnant. I mean, I'd only been with this one guy. And so I was like, we'd been broken up for a little bit. And I was like, I just don't think so, you know? And sure enough, it showed up positive. And I was like, I just was, it was so unreal.
How did the father of your child react to the news of your pregnancy?
He just, like, he was partying and he just didn't want to, he didn't have time for that, I guess. I mean, he told me that, how did he know it was his? I was like, well, first off, because, like, you're the only person I've been with.
Right.
But, you know, I guess he probably, I guess, didn't believe that either. I don't know. But also, he was a kid.
Right.
You know?
So he didn't believe you.
He didn't, at first, he didn't believe I was pregnant. So then I drove my happy ass out there to Mississippi, and I dropped a picture on his doorstep.
You're like, let me show you.
And, dude, like, my mom's calling the whole time, like, where are you? If she only knew that her biggest worry was not where I was.
Yeah, really. Like, mom, you're about to find out soon.
Are you kidding me? Which, could you imagine, like, as a mom, like, okay, this one daughter just had this, and now this daughter's like, I'm pregnant. And, like, that's not the kind of problem you can just, like, hide. Once again, I think whenever big crisis would happen, my brain kind of would go into this weird, like, escaping mechanism where,
right,
I would, like, but I did had, I'd already, like, kind of prepped for knowing that they probably were going to want to isolate me. So I did already, I'd went to the local Walmart, bought me some burner phones.
Why did you think immediately, oh, they're going to isolate me?
Because they didn't want anyone to know. That was kind of the motto of our life. And I don't think that all this came from, like, oh, it's just a horrible place. I think that sometimes it's, like, to protect. Like, they did not want,
yeah,
things out there that possibly could hurt us or whatever. But at this particular time, like, I knew that they were going to want to, like, handle the situation before they allowed me to handle it.
So clearly, whatever, you had seen that happen in your family.
Well, like, I knew that, like, I was, like, obviously, like, I'd been in a lot of pain with things with my, you know, that I'd watched with my family and my sister, but I still pretended like it was okay. It was very clearly, right, wasn't, you know?
At the time, did you feel like your parents were caught more up in the optics of how your pregnancy would affect your career and Brittany's career?
I think that genuinely, like, they were like, oh my God, our baby's having a baby. Like, that kind of was like a moment of, like, oh my God,
yeah,
this whole fucking thing is just like, what is going on? And I think that, like, we have to remember, I think they did want me to know there were options and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I do think at that point that, like, especially my mom was so, like, checked out. Like, oh, yeah, my God, everything's, like, she just was kind of was, like, allowing the team to kind of, she just wanted somebody to help, like, make this better. I don't think that, and then that to me, I was like, this should be a family matter. Like, why do we have a fucking team here? But at the same time,
yeah,
like, that was our world.
You write basically about a revolving door of people trying to convince you to abort the baby. You write, and I quote, once mama and daddy told my team, things spiraled out of control. It will kill your career. You're just too young. You don't know what you're doing. There are pills you can take. Doesn't the family have enough to deal with? I know a doctor. Don't make a mistake you'll regret for the rest of your life. I'll never forget that last plea of making a mistake I would regret because it reinforced my decision to have my baby. Why did everyone in your life pleading with you to have an abortion reinforce your decision to have a baby?
Well, up until this point, everyone else had kind of controlled my narrative and made my decisions that felt safe to me. Like, pleasing everyone else, protecting everyone else's best interest was my job.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I always had done. And for the first time in my life, I was standing up for what I wanted. And this was one thing I couldn't just accept.
Yeah.
I think that everyone has a choice, and this was the one that I knew in my like heart of hearts, this was what I had to do. This was what felt right to me. And if I went against that, I was going against my very being. My
yeah.
soul was telling me that I wanted my baby.
Why did you decide to sell the exclusive rights to your pregnancy announcement to OK Magazine?
Well, back then, as you know, like, the paparazzi were just out of control. So even before any of, and I will say that was thing, one thing that my team did do was say, like, look, we want to give you the option to put the pictures out there in the world the way you want to, so you're not hounded by paparazzi. And that was the ultimate goal. And I was a kid, and by the way, I'm still a minor. It's like, what can I really do? And so if it was going to give me a way to control my narrative, which I thought was this was going to enable me to do, then of course I thought, well, why wouldn't I do that? I will have control over the pictures that are of my child, mm-hmm. the words that are written about me. Because back then there wasn't really as much social media. It was like that one story, and then everybody just reposted that one story.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is me taking control of it.
How did your family ensure the news would not leak before the article was released?
This is the really fun part. This part was really got me, you know. So I tell them I'm pregnant. There's a few days where we're at home, and you know, everybody's like crisis mode, what are we gonna do, blah blah blah. The okay deal's made for me, and I'm just kind of like a piece in this puzzle, I guess. And I'm just going through them, and I feel like shit, mind you. So I'm not like, I don't have the strength to really fight back. Like, I'm literally vomiting. And so I just know that they say, look, the story's going to break. People are going to absolutely hound this house, and you just can't be here. We need to put you somewhere where things can be controlled and you can have the space. You know, like, so I'm kind of thinking like, oh, we're going to go to like a nice place or something. You know what I mean? Or something. Or I don't know what I was thinking. But also, I didn't want to go. Yeah. I was also a teenager who thought I was with the love of my life and going to get to be with him. And I was told that he was going to be able to come visit. And so I was kind of agreed to this. And so I fly into New York. We stay a night there. And by the way, we stay the first night there, and we go watch, me and my mom go to the movie theater, and we see Juno, which I swear to God, this is not, I'm not making this shit up.
God.
We can go fact check this with mom if you want to.
Like, it happened. Was Juno.
Yeah. And so literally, that was my favorite movie. And like, people call me Juno Lynn or whatever. I'm like, fucking right on. That's a good movie. I don't care.
It's such a good movie.
Anyways.
So good.
They should
so
have just good. Came and filmed my life. Saved themselves a lot of money. It would have been a better version.
Yeah, really.
Like, honestly. So I know we flew into New York. I still don't know. Like, did I go to Connecticut or Massachusetts? I'm not, like, I don't even know. I just know I went somewhere where, as we got further and further, I was like, guys, where are we going? And so it was this house, clearly, like, someone's, like, cabin or I don't know. And poor mama is just over there, like, what, you know, she's like, she wasn't going to obviously leave my side, but right. She just was felt a little bit pushed around by this machine too. But I was also like, why couldn't you stand up for me? But at the same time, I think she felt helpless. Maybe like she felt like kind of just had surrendered to this whole situation. And so like, she's like crying every day, and I'm like vomiting, and we like have to sleep in the same bed every night. And we were there for like, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks. He never came. They never let the father come. And I'll say, I don't think he wanted to. He had, you know, he was like
things to do,
but he got, party. He got to go be in the normal world while I was like, the story broke. And while the story broke, I didn't have internet or anything. I had no idea what's going on.
So you have no idea to this day where you were sent?
No, I don't know. But I know there's a lot of snow. I mean, we drove outside of New York for a couple hours, so.
And who actually, like your dad facilitated this?
Oh, no, my dad was not. He at this point, he had left, and he was like, he went to go focus on Brittany, because like, he was, when I told him I was going to have my baby and I wanted to do it normal, and he was like, fine, do whatever you want. And he just had left at that point. So at this point, it's my mom, and I don't really know who was making these decisions. I don't know. But I was a kid. Like, I don't know.
Even you having that revelation is like, kind of, it's a big moment.
Who paid for the house? Oh, I know I paid for the house, because I know exactly how much it cost, and it was not cheap.
You're like, I don't even know where I was to this day, and I actually don't even know who facilitated
whose idea really was it? Perhaps like maybe my PR team was like just like hide her, and I don't even know who my PR was at the time.
But that's a really like big point to hear you say that, because I saw how genuinely you were realizing you actually still to this day don't even know who facilitated.
But like, my mom
that.
Was a grown up. Like, maybe we should just got in the car and be like, we're just gonna leave.
You can just
like, we could just leave.
But this thing had just gotten so big that it was like all these different people controlling, and you guys were like, okay.
I wonder who was running my life. I don't know.
Did your parents see any of that OK Magazine money?
No, they did not. I mean, they did not. That money went to, obviously, my baby.
Okay.
Well, my now 13-year-old, but you know.
What were some of the headlines you remember reading about yourself when the news finally broke that you were pregnant?
Well, as we know, that's when it was like tabloid. It was the high time of tabloids. And so, again, I get wanting to protect me from it, but also I moved to Mississippi. I built my big ass gate around my house. I was trying to just look, I get it. I'm pregnant. I'm a 16-year-old, but I also am just trying to figure my shit out.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you. I still would have 15 paparazzi on me and in the middle of nowhere, Mississippi. Like, what are you doing here? I'm not walking down the middle of Beverly Hills asking for this.
Right.
And being called a slut, so many different names about who the baby daddy was and all these kinds of things was just completely, it broke my heart. I'm about to have a baby. And like, honestly, what made me more mad was like, I don't want my daughter to think that her mom's a piece of shit. And like, now you've already done that and she's not even here yet. And also, I don't want my daughter to ever read a headline that she ruined my career or something. Because that's not true. And they didn't, they're so irresponsible. How could they say that? How could these grown-ups say that to? I was still a minor. Whether I was having a child or not, I was still a little girl having a baby. Yeah, that's a lot. And then for people to go ahead and predestine another little girl's, how she might feel about this. And we say we're better, but no, we just do it on the internet, on people's social media, yeah, and hide behind it. At least the magazines had enough balls to put it on their cover.
You're so right. Like, I didn't think about that when you were like, my child's going to grow up and there's Google and read that. And it's, yeah, like,
you printed it proudly on your magazine. You said it on national TV. I mean, this was like news stations you watch in the morning, like these grown-ups saying these, yeah, things. Could you imagine saying that about a young child? Wouldn't you be like, oh my God, this child is going to have this baby. Her. Like, yeah, we need to all, as a freaking world, rally around these people that are making whatever. It just doesn't even matter. The point is, it's like, it was like I was a kid.
This magazine release of your pregnancy announcement was also how your sister found out you were pregnant.
Apparently. And like, this again is something like, I don't even know who put me where I was at. But at the same time, like, why couldn't I tell my sister? That was what I was told was the best thing to do. And I just didn't even have the energy to fight back, you know?
Brian knew, your mom, your dad knew, and Brittany was the only one that didn't know. And you wrote, they said it was too risky to tell Brittany about the baby. Why would it have been risky to tell Brittany about the baby?
I don't really know. I mean, maybe like they thought because maybe she would say something before the article came out.
Did you like when they came to you and told you don't tell Brittany, like,
but they didn't tell me don't tell Brittany. It was just like, you tell no one anything. And like, I was thinking maybe like they were going to call in Brittany too. I don't know what I was thinking, but I just knew that, like, of course, like, honestly, I needed her more than it. Could you imagine what a difference it probably would have made if I was able, right, to have my sister then?
And you were just kind of like, at that point, like,
I had to surrender to it. I was a minor, number one, and number two. Like,
what do you think you think they were just thought, like, she may just like tell it like casually? No, and like,
I think that Brittany was obviously going through her own shit, but I think I was so absorbed in my own shit that I couldn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Like, it makes me feel stupid too. Like, why didn't I know? But then again, I had to go, like, you were 16. I was consumed with, like, you know, I wanted to like be around the dad. I mean, you, yeah, know, like, you're so, yeah, consumed with all this dumb shit.
That makes sense. You're like, I want to try to make it work with the dad. Like, I'm, yeah, 16 and pregnant. Like,
I was more concerned about talking to him, yeah, than I was anybody.
That makes sense.
You know,
that,
like, I sense. Was like, why can't I talk to the dad? Well, like, for a while there, I couldn't talk to him.
Yeah.
It was weird. It was like, and I remember there was somebody in my life who was like, I mean, the deed's already done, so what are they really trying to keep you from me for? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, what the worst has happened. You're, right, pregnant.
Like, we're pregnant. Yeah. Like, stop trying to keep me away.
Yeah.
What happened when Brittany finally found out?
I imagine that, like, no matter what and where, or what kind of state of mind that any of us were in, it, like, that's hard. I just can't believe that they wouldn't have made sure she knew. Like, I just can't believe that somebody wouldn't have done that.
Did you guys ever have a conversation about it?
I think that maybe she might forget that I was a kid then, and she might feel like I also didn't tell her.
Mm-hmm.
So I think at first that was like something that maybe was harmful and hurtful to her, but I was hurting just back because I was kind of pissed off. Like, I want my sister here. Why isn't she coming to save me? But then also not understanding that she's on the other end of the world. Like, where's my, you know, so.
Right.
But I was a kid then too. So I think that we had to like kind of understand, like, I didn't know.
while you're in the early stages of teen pregnancy, mm-hmm. your sister is dealing with her own struggles.
Yeah.
A month after your pregnancy announcement, Brittany is hospitalized and held for mental evaluation twice in 1 month. What triggered those hospitalizations?
Now, this time was extreme, like, disassociation for me. Extreme. I don't know if it's because I wanted to not have anything to do with that world, with the public, because I was so burnt out on it myself. Mm-hmm. I was, like, not speaking to anyone, kind of. Like, as soon as, you know, I got, you know, threatened them with emancipation, and then I kind of had, like, closed myself off from all of that. And my dad was handling that, and I think my mom was with me. And I didn't know what was going on, and I wasn't let in to know. I think, like, I was kind of just, like, I was just an afterthought. Like, they didn't want to tell me anything. I had no idea. I saw it like the rest of the world. And I was never told the details of anything.
That happened to your sister with you. Yeah. Your sister didn't know what was happening with you when you were in the cabin. And so then when something's happening with your sister, you're also now not let in on that information when you guys are...
And I was very used to that because, like, I was the baby of the family. So, like, of course, I didn't expect, like, my parents to, like, run shit by me or anything.
Right.
But then again, too, I mean, I could see that my sister was hurting, but I didn't know what the right thing to do with anything was, you know. And clearly, like, the adults will know what they're doing, right?
Like, were you guys, like, talking ever, or was that a time where...
Before, when I was still in LA, like, I'd still go stay over there and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, it did become more so about, like, I didn't like the people around her, so I just didn't really want to be around that.
You just referenced it. That's what I was going to ask you about. You're pregnant at the time. You didn't have a job. You describe desperately trying to regain control of your life and your finances before your baby is born. You take legal action against your parents at the age of 16. Can you explain why you decided to attempt to get emancipated from your parents?
It became the point where, like, okay, I'm pregnant. Everyone knows. I thought the reason y'all were keeping me so locked away like a princess was because of the story. Well, the story's out now. Everybody knows I'm pregnant. So what are we doing now? Why am I still being monitored like this? I didn't understand that, like, and also told when I could and couldn't see the father of my child. Now, I wasn't expecting to, like, you know, have everything I wanted all in one setting, but I did expect that, like, I would be able to, it's almost like maybe if, like, they made it not exist enough, it didn't exist. I don't know. But it got to the point where, like, I was so monitored that I even, you know, I was able to go out, I got my GED, and so, like, I would go to those studies, and I would go do that kind of stuff, and then I was able to do, like, a few other things, but I had to, like, tell them where I was. I was very much monitored. So,
and when you say tell them, who are you?
I would tell my mama, but, like, my mama would run everything by these people, like, I guess my team, whoever they were. And that made me mad too. I was like, Mom, be strong enough, you know? Like,
so you're getting monitored by these people. Like, this is like,
everyone had a say so, I guess, in what I had to do. And honestly, I'm only hearing it from, like, my mom, right. But I know that she's being controlled, and I know that she doesn't want to upset anybody, you know? Right. Like, I don't know. Who to blame there. I don't know if there is anybody to blame, but I just know what I experienced. I knew that I wasn't allowed to do certain things. But at this point in time, I'm having a baby. Like, I got to start kind of preparing for it. I don't want to live at my mom's house and have a baby.
Right.
I need to go look at houses.
Why do you think they were monitoring you so closely?
I don't know, but I know that, like, I don't know. Like, what was there to monitor anymore? Right. I'm pregnant. And, you know, I wasn't speaking to my father at this time. So I went, and I remember, like, I looked at some houses or whatever, and, like, I thought maybe, okay, things are going to get better.
Right.
Well, then I was very quickly told, like, no, like, I saw, like, they don't, like, wanted me to, like, live at my mom's house and, like, have this baby. And I was just like, fucking no, I'm not doing that. So I called my friend up, who is my very best friend. And I said, look, I need to talk to somebody legally. I know I'm a minor. I'm in a weird situation. So I would lie and say I was going to doctor's appointments. I would go meet with a lawyer. And I did this a couple times, gave all the facts, what I was going through, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know, I want to emancipate them. I was wondering what my options were. I'd really never heard of these things. You know, I was like, what are my options? Like, legally, this is my own money. Legally, this is my, like, I want to have control over it. I'm having a baby, blah, blah, blah. And so they actually told me I could be emancipated. So then what I did is finally decided the day I was going to serve them with these papers. And the other option was, is if they did not sign off on this, legally, when you, there's some loophole in the law where she can, I could go get married if I'm pregnant and a judge would marry me.
Oh.
Even though I was a minor, there's some loophole, and I'm okay. I'm probably quoting that wrong.
Okay. Okay.
But there was a loophole that I knew about that I could do if they did not legally emancipate me.
Got it.
But by doing that would mean that I would have no prenup or anything to protect myself. At the end of the day, my mom was basically like, and my family at that point, like, look, we're not going to let her, what she's worked hard since a young age to create, be at risk. So if we can just come to a compromise of, you go do whatever it is that you need to do and live your life. If things go horribly wrong, we still, as parents, have, we can step in, you know, and that's what we ended on. So I never had to officially emancipate right. them, but I did that day. I mean, I just loaded up on my shit and left.
Did you feel after that though? Like, did you actually get, like, regain control of your finances? Like when you were asking them, yeah. did it start to click?
Yeah. And I was not somebody who was like, I just want to go spend all my money. I very much was like, look, these are the things I'm trying to do. Right. Please guide me the right way to do it. That was, I wanted to buy a home. I wanted to, you know, set up a life for myself. That was pretty simple, what I wanted.
Now knowing your whole story, like, it is interesting to learn that Britney Spears was not the first Spears to take legal action against her parents to be like, I want my life and my money back. And, like,
yeah.
there's small similarities happening right yeah. now. The fact that you're like, I don't know who made those decisions for me. I don't know what, like...
Like this whole other universe on the phone or something, right. you know?
And then they're dictating your entire life. You actually were like, okay, fuck this. I gotta stand up for myself. You give birth in June of 2008,
mm-hmm.
but at this point, like, you don't have a job. Like, the OK Magazine check would only go so far. Did you ever ask your sister for money? Did she ever offer?
Never. I never asked my sister for money. And I will say that, like, not only did I make good money off of Zoe, but the check was not small.
Switching gears here, kind of like to, like, the public perception of you. Social media is like this unnecessary evil that comes with this industry.
Yeah.
And I talk about it with a lot of people that come on my show. And you have been getting annihilated on the internet recently. What are the comments you get that are the most hurtful?
That I didn't do anything to try to help my sister. I very much did many things.
February 1st, 2008, your father files for conservatorship over your sister. Why did you not speak out on social media? Your father struggled to parent. What qualified him to be a fake? When did you come to realize that this conservatorship was infringing on Britney's rights? You were involved in the conservatorship.
Wrong. Never involved in the conservatorship.
There is a huge piece of this story that is missing.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Want $0 delivery fees? Try Dash Pass by DoorDash. Daddy gang, I love being home. I love to be cozy, comfortable, laying on the couch. I can't tell you how many times I need something, but I am too lazy to get up and get out of the house. And sometimes I need food or groceries, you name it. Dash Pass gets it delivered right to my door and yours too. It is only $9.99 a month, so I think it's a really good deal, Daddy Gang. So get $0 delivery fees on eligible orders with Dash Pass, and new members get a 30-day free trial. Terms apply. Sign up today.